So we are in Exodus chapter 4. As we were looking at Exodus chapter 3 last week, and we saw the encounter Moses had with God, with the burning bush, and we looked at the presence of the Trinity in that encounter. As the conversation takes place between Moses and God, we see in back in chapter 3, verse 11, that Moses has raised some questions. There are objections that he has for the task that God has given him. So if you look at chapter 3, verse 11 was the first excuse or an objection that Moses gave to God. He said, but Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and that I should bring the children of Israel out of Egypt? And God gives an appropriate answer to that. In verse 12, he says, so he said, I will certainly be with you, and this shall be a sign to you that I have sent you when you have brought the people out of Egypt. You shall serve God on this mountain. Okay, so here was the first excuse that Moses gave, or objection or a concern, however you want to look at it. And I want you to keep that in the back of your mind as we go to chapter 4. So here, when we come to chapter 4, in chapter 3, he said, who am I? Then he asked, I don't even know what your name is. And then God gives that great I am answer. And now, as we come to chapter 4, after God has spoken to Moses, gave him details about his plan, how he is going to liberate his people out of Egypt and take them into the promised land. He spelled it out, as we saw at the end of chapter 3, exactly how everything was going to be played out. And in response to that, Moses, here in chapter 4, verse 1 says, then Moses answered and said, but suppose they will not believe me or listen to my voice. Suppose they say, the Lord has not appeared to you. And so here we are going to continue to look at some of the excuses that Moses gives. Okay, if you look with me in chapter 4 verse 10 is the next time when Moses is going to say something. He's going to say, then Moses said to the Lord, O my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither before nor since you have spoken to your servant, but I am slow of speech and slow of tongue. Then if you look with me to verse 13, here's the next excuse, or the final excuse, so to speak, he comes up with. And verse 13 says, but he said, O my Lord, please send by the hand of whomever else you may send. And that gets to the bottom of the whole issue, verse 13. But when we come here to the chapter 4, and when we look at verse 1, in chapter 3, verse 11, I think there is some justification as to Moses asking that question, who am I? You know, he's been in a Midian for 40 years. He has lost all his royalty, so to speak, all the position that he had in Egypt. And from his thinking, from his point of view, you know, now he's just a shepherd wandering around in the wilderness, leading their sheep. And he says, okay, why would people listen to me? And God gives him an answer. God tells him exactly how it's going to play out. When we come to this verse, chapter 4, verse 1, and when he asks, but suppose they will not believe me, it's not, that's not a good question, because now he's no longer seeking for an answer, but rather he is showing doubt. This is doubt. This is not trusting. This is not trusting God in what he has said. And today, I don't know how far we are going to get into this chapter, but God has put this in my heart, you know, that word doubt. As I started to look at this chapter, and as I was thinking about this Bible study, you know, it's that word doubt, you know, that's a word that creeps into our life very often. I know it definitely does in mine, and I'm sure if all of us are being honest, you know, the lot of times we have asked this same question that Moses is asking of God, okay? But suppose, What if this happens? But suppose, what if I lose my job? What suppose, what if I get cancer? But suppose, what if this happens? Or what this that happens? Well, suppose if I have to go into bankruptcy? Suppose I lose my home? You know? But suppose. And all of you can kind of put whatever else you want to put after that word, but suppose. Okay? And ultimately, whenever we have that in our mind, whenever we come up with that question in our walk with God, once we have been born again, right? This is a prerequisite. When you have surrendered your life to God, when you have repented of your sin, you have accepted Christ, and now you are a born again Christian, right? When this happens, this is showing doubt in what God has promised. But suppose they will not believe me or listen to my voice. Suppose they say, the Lord has not appeared to you. How many times are we in the same exact boat as Moses? When we look at our life, when we look at our faith walk, and how much trust we have in God for providing us with the things that we need. And whenever we start this sentence with but, it is nothing but lack of faith. Nothing but lack of faith. God has asked us, God has given us some promises. And today, if you have your Bible with you, or if you are like a person who likes to take a note, there are a couple of things that I want to draw your attention to. You know, God has told us and given us promises in this book. And when you hear me talk about doubt and fear and not having enough faith, some of you might say, you know what, Ajay? If I was in chapter 3 and if I would have seen a burning bush and I would have had witnessed the Trinity and they would have spoken to me, I would have no doubt. If that happens in my life, I would have never have a doubt on Jesus or anything God has to say. We have a completed work of the Holy Spirit in the Bible. It is God speaking to us through Bible, through the lives of these prophets, through the lives of these people who lived so long ago, and what he has told us and what he is showing us through this book and what we are going to look at through the specifically through the book of Exodus, that God is faithful. That's the message of the Bible, that you can trust what God is saying, right? So turn with me to the book of Philippians, chapter 1, verse 6. If we can go to Philippians, chapter 1, verse 4. I mean, verse 6, I'm sorry. And here's one of the promises that God has given us. Most of you know these promises, right? It says, being confident. And if I were you, I would circle that word, confident, in your Bible, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun, circle he, that's a capitalized word over there, he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Circle the word complete, okay? And what this is a promise that God has given us. If you have ever doubt about your salvation or the faithfulness of God, it says being confident of this very thing that he is being talked about here. Here we are talking about Holy Spirit, who is guiding us right now, who is giving us the enlightenment that we need, who is showing us and giving us a discerning power right now. It is the Holy Spirit. How did we come to know God? Whoever you are, you know, and if you have accepted Christ, it was the prompting of the Holy Spirit, that still voice that knocked on your heart and said, you need to turn to God. He who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. It is not in our strength. It is not in our abilities. It's not because we are so eloquent, as Moses is going to say later on, that I am not. It's not because we have this superior intelligence. It's not because we are so good looking and we can speak so well. It is He, meaning the Holy Spirit, And whenever we say what Moses says here, says, but suppose what we are doing is we are not trusting the power of the Holy Spirit. And those of you who have heard the message on the resurrection that we did for Passion Week, the power of the resurrection, this Holy Spirit is the power of the resurrection, where God equips us, God strengthens us to do what we need to do and to walk according to His word. This path of sanctification that we are on, there is not but suppose. Whatever may come, He has promised us. We can be confident. You know, I don't have to explain to you what the word confident means. That's no doubt. Completely trust God that He will finish, complete the work. Until when? Not until, it doesn't say over here, it will completely, until you have a job and you are paying me tithes. Or you are completely healthy and, you know, you are taking care of yourself and you have a right diet and there is not a single sickness in your body. Until then, he will do the work. No, He will do it until the day of the Jesus Christ, meaning for eternity. Until Christ either calls us home or comes to get us, right? Until that day, until we meet our Savior, He is going to continue to work and He will complete the work, whatever is set for us. So all the shortcomings that we have, all the issues, the trials and the temptations that come in our path, don't doubt. God has put this in my heart for one of you, or maybe more than one of you. Today, He said, if you are doubting the work of God in your life or what God can do through you, then you need to stop doubting and completely trust God. Another promise that we so often go to in our Bible study, and something that I say very often, right? What has God promised us? I will never. And if you have that, Bible verse, I circle that verse in your Bible. Never, I will never leave you or forsake you. Again, it's not that okay. If you do this, then I will not leave you or forsake you. Or if you do something, then okay, all bets are off. I'm leaving you. I will never leave you or forsake you. So whatever God is asking you to do, wherever God is leading you, whatever God is leading you into, He has promised, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And I can give you 10 other promises from this book. Right, just like God spoke to Moses, as we read in chapter 3, verse 12, He says, so He said, meaning God said, I will certainly be with you, and this shall be a sign to you that I have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall serve God on this mountain. This is the promise that was given to Moses, that I certainly be with you. And that is the exact same thing that has been told to us, the promise that has been given to us, right? When we get into the Gospel of John, chapter 14, He says, I am going to prepare a room for you, and I will come back to get you. We will have a supper with, I will have supper with you, okay? There are so many promises in the Bible where Jesus told His disciples, and from there told us, that I am coming back, and I'm going to establish my kingdom. Just like Moses was given a promise here. So whenever in our life, whenever you find yourself saying, but suppose, no, God said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So when Satan puts those thoughts into your mind, puts those thoughts, in your way, and it kind of raises doubt, fear in your mind, go back to the book and say, no, God, Jesus has said, I will never leave you or forsake you, right? It's Jesus who said to Joshua, right? Be strong and courageous. right? Be strong and courageous. And so we need to fight doubts in our life. If there are things that are taking your focus away from God, or just even making you doubt your salvation, am I really saved? A lot of times we have that question, you know, we need to get back to the Word. And so here, Moses says, but suppose they will not believe me or listen to my voice. Suppose they say the Lord has not appeared to you. So here, God, here where Moses feels so impotent, God gives him his strength, okay? And this is exactly what God does to us through his Word, okay? When we feel weak, when we feel that we don't have an ability to do something, God shows us his strength, okay, and what he can do. So verse 2, he says, so the Lord said to him, What is it that is in your hand? He said, a rod. By the way, you know, as we read this account, I think this is a portion of scripture that most of you are very familiar with, okay? Here, look, when back in chapter 3, verse 11, when God said, when Moses said to God, who am I? God did not answer to Moses and say, oh, let me remind you who you are. You know, you are a Levite. You grew up in a palace. You have the best education from the Egyptian schools. And he didn't list all the characteristics of Moses. That's not what he did. And he's not going to do that here either. He's not going to say, okay, Moses, because of this, because of who you are, they are going to believe that I appear to you. What God says is, I am your strength. Just like he said, he didn't make Moses feel adequate or somehow build him up so the Moses can say, okay, all right, I'm all this. I think I can do this. No, he said, no, you're going to trust me. And that is so often the case for us, okay? So many times we want to stand in front of people. We want to witness. We want to do things for God. But like Moses, we want to do it in our strength. Let me make sure I know my Bible before I witness to somebody. What if they ask a question that I don't know answer to? If I'm asked to pray in a public, I'm going to write a nice prayer and then I'm just going to recite that prayer in front of everybody. What if they think I don't know how to pray? But suppose, right? And in all of those cases, what we are doing is we are trying to show ourselves off instead of trusting God. What did Jesus say to the disciple? When you are in front of the king, or if you are in front of a magistrate, I will tell you, I will give you the words to speak. Yes, there is if you are given a responsibility of speaking, or if you are given a responsibility of teaching, yes, you should prepare yourself, right? At least read the portion of scripture you want to speak on, right? Just don't open the Bible and do it, right? So yes, there is some preparation is required, right? But God has given us a promise that I will give you the words you need to speak. It's the Holy Spirit who guides us. He gives us the ability and discernment and wisdom to say the right, that correcting word, right? The two-edged sword of God, the word of spirit, that's it given by God. And what God says is, you trust me. And so today, let me ask you guys, do you trust God to finish what God has asked you to do? It is not your ability. It's not your ability. Okay? So God here says, so the Lord said to him, what is that in your hand? And he said, a rod. And he said, cast it on the ground. So he cast it on the ground, and it became a serpent, and Moses fled from it. Then the Lord said to Moses, reach out your hand and take it by the tail. And he reached out his hand and caught it, and it became a rod in his hand. You know, and I see that I'm already almost done with my time, but we must speak about the rod, okay? A lot of you are saying, you know, it's great, Ajay, you do the Bible study. Pastors have their job to do, you know, God has a calling on them or whatever. How am I to serve Jesus, or how am I serve to God? Okay, what is my ministry? Here is an illustration of that. What did Moses have in his hand? God simply asked him, what is that in your hand? And Moses said, a rod. Why did he have a rod in his hand? Because he was a shepherd, and all the shepherds have a rod in their hand, right? That's why we read in Psalm 23 that your rod and your staff comforts me. Rod is something that they all had, right? So God uses what you have in your hand. It's not something that you need to, you know, not all of us don't need to go and get a doctorate in a theology. Okay, all of us don't need to become a doctorate or a master or reverend or whatever you want to be. Whatever you have, if it's a keyboard you have, if you happen to be an electrician and whatever tools you use, whatever tools or whatever that you use to do your work, God can use that to manifest himself. That's very important to understand. He said a rod. That was the tool of the trade that Moses was in. He was a shepherd. He had a rod. Whatever is your rod, okay? And it's important to understand what your rod is, because here comes the next lesson, okay? And he said, cast it on the ground. So he cast it on the ground, and it became a serpent, and Moses fled from it, okay? The other important part is, right, we need to cast our rod, because it's a rod. When it's casted on the ground in front of a God, that's when you will realize that it will become the serpent of old that we meet in Genesis 3. Okay? And what did the serpent of old in Genesis 3 do? He deceived Eve into thinking what? Right? That fruit is good. Okay? And that I want to be like God. Okay? And so many times, our rods are our serpents. We are so dedicated to our trade, so dedicated to working and making money, that like Eve, okay, they become the hanging fruit. Because now, instead of trusting God to provide, okay, that job takes over our life. And we are so preoccupied with making money. Okay, and again, there is nothing wrong with making money. I'm going to get to that point in a minute as well. Okay, but we are so preoccupied that we sacrifice our time with God. We sacrifice our devotion. We sacrifice our families. You know, how many men are so busy working? Okay, oh, I want to work the holiday because you know what? I get paid time and a half. I got to go. You know, I got to build up my kingdom. I got to go. You know, instead of letting go that time and a half and perhaps, play with the kids outside in the yard, you know. And the rod, okay, it becomes the ministry. Sometimes if you are in ministry, sometimes, you know, and God has really spoken to me through this portion, you know, when you're doing ministry, when you are doing the Bible study, sometimes that can take a life of itself, okay. Even doing Bible studies, doing ministry, can be your rod if you forget that what the ministry is all about is spending alone time with God. If all you are doing is just studying for the next Bible study, you're doing the next thing, you know, as good as the work may be. You can go around feeding the widows and the orphans 7 days a week, and you could be, and that's a wonderful work that you do, and you may dedicate your life to it. But that can be your rod, because it's about spending time with God. Don't substitute your rod for God. Okay? We need to throw it and cast it on the ground. When we cast it on the ground, we realize that it's a serpent taking us away from spending that time with God. And what it becomes is our job becomes the thing that is going to provide all our needs. Did Adam and Eve have to work? No. They had all the food provided for them, you know? But so many times, once we get a job and we get that big bank balance, you know, that suddenly takes, okay, I'm okay. Even if I lose my job, I'm good for a year. I have enough to make car payments. I have enough to do this. And there is nothing wrong with planning. But trust God. Right? That's what do we read in the gospel? All right? What if your life is taken from you tonight? What is your relationship with God? And even after we have a relationship with God, don't think that, okay, suddenly you accept Jesus. And now Satan is going to say, okay, I lost this one. Let me go to the next one. Make sure I don't lose that one. Okay? The attacks still come. I think it comes more frequently after that to draw us away from Christ and start trusting our abilities, our bank balance, our intelligence. Okay? Instead of saying, now God, I trust you. And what happens is, what happened to Moses here? When you throw the rod on the ground, okay? Suddenly see what it is for, and you wanna flee from it, right? But in the next few minutes, I want to show you. Okay, what did God say to Moses? It says, the Lord said to Moses, reach out your hand and take it by the tail. And he reached out his hand and caught it, and it became a rod in his hand. Okay? That serpent, when he held it by the tail, it became a rod again. Okay? And here is the lesson in this, okay? Those of you, and I know a lot of you, and you have seen this, right? When you see a snake charmer, right? Where do they hold the snake from? If you ever have seen anybody handle a snake, what you will see is they always hold them from their mouth, by their head, okay? That's where you hold the snake, and they control the snake. You have never seen anybody try to grab a snake with the tail. Everybody knows this because if you hold a snake by the tail, it can come back and sting you and kill you, okay? Because it's still free. So here, God is asking Moses to do something in faith, okay? And Moses does it. That's the wonderful thing, okay? It was a step of faith to hold that snake by the tail. God asked him to do something. Perhaps that was beyond his understanding or even against his knowledge. But he trusted God. We started out with doubt. And what we are going to end up with is when you trust God, see what happens. It might not make sense to you. It might not make sense to you to pray for your enemy or to love your enemy. It might not make sense for you to forgive those who have done a wrong to you. It might not make sense to you to do certain things that the Bible asks us to do. But if in faith, because God has asked you to do it, you hold that tail, you are going to see it become a rod. And as we said, that rod is what God is going to use for his purposes. Okay? Now, don't look at this as a doctrine or a theology that I should go find a snake and grab it by the tail to show my faith. That's not what I'm saying, right? And I know all of you understand that. But what is it? What is your serpent? And what is it that you need to grab by a tail? That's what you need to pray about and talk to God about and trust God with it and grab it by the tail. Okay, for Abraham, right? It was not having a son. That was his tail. And he decided to touch it and grab it in faith, right? For Joseph, it was the imprisonment. For Joseph, it was the slavery. And he decided to trust God that all things, right? And then he tells his brother, what you meant for evil, God meant for good. Okay? And I can give you for Rahab, right? The scarlet thread hanging on her window was the tail of the serpent. Okay? What is your tail? What is it that you need to take a hold of? We can go on one example after another, right? Joshua, for Joshua, it was crossing the Jordan River, right? I encourage you to listen to the message of the River of Impossibility. River of Impossibility. What is the tail in your life that you need to grab? Because when you grab that tail in faith, as we have seen, and I can go through the whole Hebrews chapter 11. I can talk about Abraham. I can talk about Jacob. I can talk about Joseph. We can talk about Daniel, right? For Daniel, it was the lion's den. For Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, it was the fire that was the tail, okay? And we can go through all these people. We can go through David and Samson, and you know all the names that are written there, right? Whatever it is, how did they conquer? Through faith, not through doubt. And what happens when those things that lay heavy on you, those things that are serpents in your life, that are taking you away from God, when you submit those things to God, and in our case, when I was talking to you about the work that you have, perhaps it's a family, I don't know, right? Whatever it is, when you cast it, right? What is God asking Moses to do when he said, cast it on the ground? He said, no, you're going to come to me. You're going to raise both hands and praise me, worship me, follow me. There is nothing that is going to hinder you from completely surrendering to me. When we cast everything on the ground in front of Jesus, right? He takes us, he makes us, he equips us to be what he wants us to be. And then when again you pick up that serpent by the tail, and when it becomes that, it becomes a rod. Okay, now that job is not all you that you have, right? Now that job, that whatever God has given you, becomes your ministry. Okay, and then you understand it in the proper perspective that this is to support me and plan. So there's nothing wrong with working. At what price are you working? Is God the number one priority? What is your priority here when Moses shows faith, okay, and he picks up that rod, it becomes a rod. And look, if you turn with me to the verse 20, look what it says over there, chapter 4, verse 40. Look what happens to this rod. It says, then Moses took his wife and his sons and set them on a donkey, and he returned to the land of Egypt, and Moses took the rod of God. Now, it's no longer rod of Moses, it's the rod of God in his hand. And it was this rod that he's going to have his hand throughout the journey in the wilderness. It is this rod that he raised to part the Red Sea. It was this rod that he stuck the rock and the water came out. It is this rod that he's going to be standing in front of Pharaoh and performing all the miracles that he's going to perform. Okay, because now it is no longer the rod of a shepherd, but it is the rod of God. So as we end today's Bible study, okay, and I know we only made it to the five verses or so, but I did not want to rush through this portion of the scripture. There is much to be said in chapter 4, okay? As we end this, I want to put it in your heart. Okay, there are two things that we talked about, doubt and then faith. I want you to pray. I want you to self-examine. I want you to spend some time with God alone this week, tonight, whenever it is possible for you. And think about what is your rod that you need to cast down on the ground in front of God. And when you cast it, right, when you cast it, you want to praise, completely surrender to God, and then trust him with everything in your life. If it's a child that is a wayward child who's not behaving, perhaps you don't have a job, perhaps there is an issue in the marriage, perhaps the marriage is broken up, you know, and it seems like an impossible situation, okay? Maybe you have a child or a husband or a wife who is lost to an addiction. You know, the drugs are an issue. Whatever it is, right? Completely surrender. Cast it at the feet of God, right? And trust him. But suppose, remove those two words from your vocabulary, from your faith walk. There is nothing that God cannot do. Is there anything impossible for God? As Sarah laughed in Genesis chapter 18, right? When God said, next year at this time, you will have a son. She laughed and God said, is there anything impossible for God? Right? many places in the scripture, God has says nothing is impossible for God. And here Moses is about to become a leader of a nation. And God showed him that you are going to need to trust me. You are going to need to trust me. Stop doubting me, Moses. And as we go further into this chapter, and we look at the next two miracles that God has given to Moses, it's an important lesson, okay? Which I'm going to say it now, and perhaps I'm going to repeat it for next 2 to 3 weeks, okay? First, God gave Moses a word that, look, I'm going to do this. That was chapter 3. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this, right? When he did not put trust into the word, right? There was a sign, a miracle that God just gave him. For many of us, God has given us a word. He has given us his complete word in the Bible. And he has told us exactly what is going to happen. And we still don't put complete faith in God. When we don't trust God's word, and when we don't trust God's works, then there is nothing else but judgment. And so today, if like Moses, you are doubting God, if there is unbelief, okay, it is one thing to not understand the plan of God or how something is going to unfold or what is going to happen, okay, we don't have all the answers. But like Moses here in chapter 4, right, if that uncertainty is not really an uncertainty, or it's not a lack of understanding, but if it is turning into unbelief, stop yourself right now. Pray to God, trust him completely, and he will turn whatever rod that you have into the rod of God. And when that happens, you too will part the Red Sea that is in your life. Oh, Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus, Lord. We thank you and praise you for this time, this wonderful portion of scripture that we are going through, Lord. Lord, we know in so many ways we are no different than Moses, Lord. Although we know the word, although we have seen it manifested in our life, Lord, we have seen the power of resurrection and the power of Holy Spirit working not only in our lives, but in the lives of others as they come to God, as they surrender to you, Lord. We have seen miracles. We have seen sick being healed, Lord. We have seen people who are broken restored. Yet, like Moses, so many times we doubt when it comes to our own situation, Lord. Things that we say to others, Lord, sometimes when we are faced with those same questions, we doubt and we fear, Lord. Forgive us for that, Lord. Forgive us for that, Lord. And Lord, help us all to surrender anything that is hindering us from your complete blessing. Whatever that is hindering us, Lord, from completely surrendering to you, Lord. Whatever that is blinding us from having a complete obedient walk with you, Lord. We surrender it all at your feet, Lord. Use us, guide us, Lord, and glorify your name through us. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.